But what the Savior means is because of the spiritual blessing and the spiritual opportunities and the gospel light that came into that place, it was exalted to heaven. There was a blessing here, a wonderful blessing that many other places did not have tonight. We can say in many ways we've been exalted to heaven because of the gospel and the gospel of Christ and the witness of the gospel here. But Capernaum was blessed in a far greater way because they had the physical presence of the Savior in the midst.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Found yourself in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, and if you were to travel east from Jerusalem and down the sandy hills and the mountains, you will pass by Jericho. You will see the Dead Sea, the lowest point on earth. And if you then follow the River Jordan northwards, you will leave the barrenness behind. You will pass by the rugged terrain into green, fertile land, and the River Jordan gives way to the Sea of Galilee. Now, this area in ancient times was called the land of Gennesaret. Now, the sea was called the Lake of Gennesaret. It is some 4 miles in length and 2 miles in width at its widest point, and perhaps one, in my estimation anyway, one of the most beautiful and peaceful places on earth. I remember looking at the blueness of the lake and thinking of its history and marveled at what was before me. The region is hilly, but it is fertile. There are sloping mountains that align the banks of the Sea of Galilee, but all is green. And if you move across that sea, that lake, to the far side from the River Jordan, you will find the ruins of an ancient town. A town, again, like that area, is steeped in history, not just secular history, but biblical history. And that town is Capernaum, whose streets long ago the Savior walked. The other towns mentioned in this chapter, Chorazin and Bethsaida, were not so far away from the city of Capernaum. And these cities were blessed and favored with the presence of the Lord, but they treated lightly their opportunities to get right with God. Nothing is left but ruins of what once was. And as our scripture says, they were exalted to heaven, but brought down to hell. Verse 23. And there's a great warning in our text this evening, that if there is no repentance, if there is no turning unto Christ, then there will not be the forgiveness of sins or that exalting to heaven, but rather you will be brought down to hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke and warned these cities of their sin. He calls out in a word of warning. He explains why these cities and Capernaum is liable to judgment. And he reminds us of pagan cities in history who knew nothing of the gospel of Christ, who were never blessed by the presence of the Savior in their midst, Tyre and Sidon. And the Savior's remark is that if the works that had been done in these cities had been done in these pagan cities, they would have remained until this day. They would have turned from their sin and their paganism unto the God of heaven. Today, we live in a generation that is surrounded by gospel light. Yes, we say we live in a sinful world. We live in a sinful nation. And we can look at the laws of the nation. We can look at the activities that go on, even on our doorstep, as we gaze out into the world. But yet, despite the sin and the darkness, it is a generation that is surrounded by gospel light. There are churches, not quite on every corner, but there are many churches. There are Bibles. Every home, almost every home, no doubt, would have access to a Bible today, because all you need is a smartphone or an internet connection. And if you don't have those things, you may actually have a book and have the Bible in page form. And if not, it's easily accessible by going outside and going to somewhere that sells or gives Bibles to individuals. We have, through the internet, sermons available at every moment of the day. And we can look at our own nation, and we can look at where we find ourselves, like these ancient cities. Have we not been exalted to heaven because of the blessings that are upon us, the spiritual opportunities that we have? Yet there are many who remain unconverted, many who continue in the path of sin without any thought of God or salvation, maybe a little form of Christianity, a little sprinkle of godliness in their mind that is certainly not godliness, but a little bit of Christianity sprinkled upon the top of the cake of their life. And that's all they need. And they avoid of needing to turn from their sin unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many who sit under gospel preaching week after week and they do not repent. And the words of Christ are a great thunderclap of warning. He comes and he rebukes not those who were pagan, not those who were following false gods, but he's coming and speaking to those who were religious, those who were privileged. He's not speaking to those in the city of Sodom, but he's speaking to those in the city of Capernaum. It is a solemn text. The Lord Jesus Christ has given a warning as the great judge of what would take place at the day of judgment. He names names. He speaks of real places. He declares that those who hear the truth of God and ignore it are in a great danger, a greater danger than those who never heard it at all. We live in an age that is obsessed with comfort and privilege and status. People assume that They have access to the best. And therefore, if they have access to the best, they must be safe. There must be that goodness, that godliness about them. But the Savior makes it clear in this passage that privilege does not protect against judgment. And there are those who think, oh, because I attend church, or I'm a good person, or I live in a country where there's a freedom for Christianity, and my family are Christians, therefore I am safe. But in this passage, the Savior makes it clear that privileges and opportunities do not protect against judgment. In fact, going by the words of Christ, they deepen that judgment. For what does the Savior say in verse 24? That it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom, those who engaged in rebellion against God and wickedness against God, and they corrupted themselves in the sight of God, those who lived in great sin, it will be more tolerable for them. And they were judged by God with fire and brimstone. More tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for those who had spiritual and gospel privileges. And the Savior turns his eyes here to cities where most of his mighty works were done in the area of Galilee. They had heard his sermons. They were on the same roads that he walked. They did not repent. The Savior says to them, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Think on that. Whole cities that were blessed with Christ himself in their streets still perished under judgment. Why? They were exalted through the opportunities they had in the gospel, but they were unmoved in their hearts. They had light, the light of Christ shining as he ministered where they were, but they stayed in darkness. They had the truth, but they rejected that truth. And therefore, what we have here tonight is a warning. It's a warning to the religious. It's a warning to those who have such privileges. It's a warning to those who think that all is well, but that is not built or based or founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question then is not, have you heard the truth of God? It's not, have you heard the gospel? But what have you done with Christ? What have you done with the gospel message? There's been blessings and privileges. But what about you and Christ's gospel? What about you and your need of a Savior? What about you and your need of turning from sin and repenting and cleaving unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we can say we've heard the gospel. That's not the question. The question is, what have you done with that gospel? Because we see here cities, and they did very, very little. They did nothing with the gospel of Christ. And so tonight I want to consider the subject, exalted but still condemned. Exalted but still condemned. And I want you to consider, moving through this passage, that Capernaum experienced days of blessing. Capernaum experienced days of blessing. Capernaum is said to be exalted to heaven in verse 23. That does not mean it was a heavenly, perfect, or sinless city. It does not mean that it was a city that was up in the clouds. Many in fantasy worlds and worlds of science fiction think of cities that are in the clouds, but yet this city was not exalted unto heaven in that particular sense. It was a city that was firmly fixed upon the earth. I know, I've been there. But what the Savior means is because of the spiritual blessing and the spiritual opportunities and the gospel light that came into that place, it was exalted to heaven. There was a blessing here, a wonderful blessing that many other places did not have tonight. We can say in many ways we've been exalted to heaven because of the gospel and the gospel of Christ and the witness of the gospel here. But Capernaum was blessed in a far greater way because they had the physical presence of the Savior in the midst. It was blessed beyond measure because of Christ. After leaving Nazareth in Matthew 4, verse 13, the Word of God says, He came and dwelt in Capernaum. And therefore, the Savior Himself dwelt in this town. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 9. And He entered into a ship, verse 1, and passed over and came into His own city, believed to be the city of Capernaum. Christ referred to it as His own city. There was a bond in this town, and we can often think of maybe the town that you're from. It might be this town, it might be another town. There's a kind of bond there. I've lived in so many towns that I don't think I have a bond anywhere. I've lived in towns in Northern Ireland, Belfast, Antrim, Portadown. I could name a whole list. I've lived in towns in England and Wales and Australia and here in Canada as well. I'm not sure I'm from any particular place. I'm a nomad. But when we think of where we were originally from, or we think of a place as ours, it has a special place in our hearts. That might be the place you're originally from. And that might be the place that you've made home for many, many years. It's your own city, your own town. There is a bond. And the Savior, this was where He was. This was where He dwelt. The very area was where He dwelt. It was His own city. There was a bond. And we can think of these words, a city exalted to heaven, brought down to hell. Why? Because there was this glorious, pure, holy Son of God dwelling in their midst. They were exalted to heaven, but yet brought down to hell because there was a rejection of Christ. They experienced days of spiritual blessing through the presence of Christ. He dwelt here. They were blessed through that, the sinless Son of God dwelling among them. And how marvelous that would have been. We have not had the personal, physical, bodily presence of the Savior like those on the shores of Galilee. We have His presence. We have His Spirit. We have the presence of Christ in our midst at every meeting. We have the same message He preached in those days. It has not changed. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. It is a blessing to have the presence of Christ. And to your congregation, you ought to have that desire as you come to the house of God to know and to experience the presence of Christ. We do not come here to meet among ourselves. The Church of Christ is not a social club. It is not something that we treat alongside the things of this world, but it is that place where we come to meet with God, where we come and meet with the presence of God, the presence of our Savior, and it is a blessed time. And to be here as we worship the God of heaven, it is a blessing and it is a privilege. You may think it is not so. You may never have really thought in these things about the blessing of the presence of Christ and coming to the house of God and being in the presence of God. But how vital that is. Maybe those who are younger in years, you may be here because you don't have any choice to be here. I remember growing up as a child, I attended church because I didn't have a choice. And later on, I began to get a little bit more control of that choice, and I still went. And I thank the Lord for His grace in that way. And I realized what a privilege it was to be at the house of God. I didn't understand the importance. I didn't understand the blessed presence of Christ in those early years, but I was still there, and eventually I understood. And how important it is for you to understand as we come to God's house, we come into His presence, we come in to worship Him, our hearts are to be prepared as we come and consider Him, and it is a blessing. There is a spiritual blessing upon being here as we meet with God's people, as we consider His Word. We should have a desire to be where Christ is. We should have a desire to be where the presence of God is. That is why, as the Lord's people in His day, we should have a desire to come to His house. Not once, but twice, as the opportunity is there in front of us to come to the house of God, to meet with Him, to be in His presence, to receive His word, because it is a blessed privilege. Here in Capernaum, the Savior dwelt there. It was a blessed privilege to be in His presence. Oh, how blessed it is for us to come and to meet with God. But we see that not only did the Savior live in Capernaum, but we find that some of His disciples did as well. We find, going back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, in the verse 5, it says that Jesus was entered into Capernaum, and then moving down the passage, He went into Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Peter lived in the town of Capernaum. Today, the Church of Rome has picked out the ruins of the house that is believed to have been Peter's, and they have built a church over it. I was going to say an octopus-style church. It's lifted up over the ruins, and of course, there's legs that extend up to hold this building in place over the house of who they would say is the first pope. He had a mother-in-law, and as the Savior went into the town, He went into Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. The Pope today doesn't have a mother-in-law, but that's another subject altogether. But he was never in Rome, according to Scripture. But they have taken that place, and they have made it a so-called holy place. But his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, who was healed, what a testimony that was. The great physician passed by and had raised her up again from fever, a living testimony to Christ. Peter and others would have had lives lived that were worthy of a disciple of Christ. Their conduct would have been noted. Their service to the Savior would have been noticed. They were in somewhat of a spotlight because they were disciples of Christ. And wherever the people of God are found, there is a blessed privilege. We can think of ourselves and the great heritage and the history of the Christian church. We can think of the early reformers. We can think of men who unashamedly preached the word of God in Europe during the days of Reformation, and men who came and pioneered Christian churches in the New World of North America, men who over the years have been used by God to bless His church, and faithful men are a faithful witness. You can think of your family or friends who seek to tell you the way of salvation. And they are those who bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a blessed privilege. And this chapter, this text is about these blessed privileges. Capernaum was exalted to heaven because of the presence of Christ, because the disciples of Christ and the people of God and those who were touched by Christ were there as witnesses to the power of the Savior. And tonight there are many. And many in this meeting and congregation who can speak to you and your soul about the power of Christ. It's not some sort of fraud. It's not some invention to make us feel good. It is something that is real. The gospel of Christ is a real thing that makes a real impact upon the lives of those who turn from sin. The gospel of Christ has a real power. And to be in the presence of those who can testify to that, what a blessing and what a privilege it is. Dear believer, do you testify through your life and your word concerning the gospel of Christ? We touched on that this morning. It is a blessed privilege to those around you who know not the Savior as you go and tell them of Christ. For
Spurgeon's devotional today is taken from Psalm 104, verse 16. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. Lebanon's cedars are emblematic of the Christian, in that they owe their planting entirely to the Lord. This is quite true of every child of God. He is not man-planted, nor self-planted, but God-planted. The mysterious hand of the Divine Spirit dropped the living seed into a heart which he had himself prepared for its reception. Every true heir of heaven owns the great husbandman as his planter. Moreover, the cedars of Lebanon are not dependent upon any man for their watering. They stand on the lofty rock, unmoistened by human irrigation, and yet our Heavenly Father supplieth them. Thus it is with the Christian who has learned to live by faith. He is independent of man, even in temporal things. For his continued maintenance he looks to the Lord his God, and to him alone. The dew of heaven is his portion, and the God of heaven is his fountain. Again, the cedars of Lebanon are not protected by any mortal power. They owe nothing to man for their preservation from stormy wind and tempest. They are God's trees, kept and preserved by him, and by him alone. It is precisely the same with the Christian. He is not a hothouse plant, sheltered from temptation. He stands in the most exposed position. He has no shelter, no protection, except this, that the broad wings of the eternal God always cover the cedars which he himself has planted. Like cedars, believers are full of sap, having vitality enough to be evergreen, even amid the winter's snow, even amid winter's snows. Lastly, the flourishing and majestic condition of the cedar is to the praise of God alone. The Lord, even the Lord alone, hath been everything unto the cedars, and therefore David very sweetly puts it in one of the Psalms, "Praise ye the Lord, fruitful trees, and all cedars." In the believer, there is nothing that can magnify man. He is planted, nourished, and protected by the Lord's own hand, and to him let all the glory be ascribed. Thank you for joining with us today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and we are delighted that you have taken time to hear the ministry of the Word from our program. Join us again on Let the Bible Speak, and may the Lord bless you abundantly. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.